If you'll turn with me to 1 John chapter 4, please. 1 John chapter 4. You're going to have to be open-minded to know that we're talking about loving God this morning. Because I'm going to talk about you guys first, or towards the end. But it's all in context of loving God. And we've been looking at the fact that if we're going to love God, it's demonstrated by the fact that we have love for one another. And the reality is God has so much for us. He wants to do so much through you, and yet we hinder him. Okay? He's provided things, but we hinder him on how much he can use us. One of the things that we've learned is we have to take responsibility. We have to take ownership for our own lives, for our own actions. Okay? Now, I didn't share last week, but from the week before, then from what I hear, some of y'all are changing, and you're changing in your prayer life. It's good, because you were praying for your enemy one way, and it might have been the wrong way, and now you know how to pray for him right. Correct? All right, if you don't know what I'm talking about, hear the message from March 17th. So, and that's what the Christian life is making adjustments. When we learn something from God, then we make the adjustments and we become more and more like him because we want him to use us more and more, okay? And one of the things when we start to pray for our enemies and for those who despitefully use us and abuse us, when we start to pray for them the way God wants us to, then we have God's heart, okay? And that's what he's after, all right? So you're going to have to go through those things so that you can do that. And just as was shared this morning, when you get to heaven, there's not going to be anyone else there. It's just going to be you. You can't blame it on your parents. You can't say, God, if you wouldn't have given me those parents... He knows what he's doing. And then you can't even say, God, well, you know, my parents, and maybe it was your dad or maybe it was your mom, one of them left you, or maybe both of them left you. You can't even blame it on that. You are responsible for your own actions, okay? No one else is going to be there to help give an account for your life. Only you will be there. And just in case you want, your spouse won't be there either. All right. And I talked about we all have that somebody that we want to lay claim to that has kept us from becoming all that God wants us to be, but we can't. We can't. When we get to heaven, we're not going to be able to say, well, that's somebody. But here's what I also want you to think about too. If you are that somebody that's preventing you from becoming all that God has called you to be, you will be held accountable. See, sometimes we think of that somebody as somebody else. But you know what? It might even be you. You might be that somebody in your life that is holding you back from becoming and doing all that God has called you to be. So you can't blame anybody else. There's such great potential that God has placed within each and every one of us to increase his kingdom. And that's why he's left us on earth, is so that we would increase his kingdom. And we have to come to the place where we do not let that somebody keep us from fulfilling God's plans for our lives. And I just want to remind you of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. I know you're in 1 John chapter 4. Stay there. But Ephesians 3:20 says this, now to him who is able, aren't you glad? He is able, okay? He's made us able. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, and I always like to put in there, or imagine, because I want to imagine great things that God wants me to do. I want to imagine the great things that God wants my children to do. But he says this, according to the power at work within us. And so he's placed his spirit within us if we're believers. So that, y'all are good though. I appreciate that. But that power is working in us so that whoever that somebody is in our life, we can overcome them. Okay? In 1 John chapter 4, in verse 4, it says this, "Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Now, we laid a heavy foundation for our children, for their lives, with this scripture. Because every night we talk to them about the fact that greater is he that is in them than he that's in the world. And so God has placed greatness in them. And we would fall short as parents if that greatness did not come out of you. And we need to think about that for our own lives. We need to realize that God has placed his spirit in us. There's nothing greater than his spirit in you. Okay? So if he's placed that in you, then whatever he's called you to do, you can do it. You can look at yourself and say, well, I just can't love that person. Agreed. But the God in you can, and he will show you how to do that. Amen? All right. Stay in 1 John chapter 4. Now, responsibility ownership is the first thing that we need to work on to make sure that we fulfill all that God has for us. The second thing is this, and this is what I want us to conquer today. And I've shared on this a little bit before, but I'm going to share a little bit different, and then we're going to come home with it, okay? We're going to talk about how it is in your life. And it's this. It's fear. It is amazing to me how many Christians live in such paralyzing fear. And there's no reason for us to live in fear when the Holy Spirit lives in us. Okay? Now, fear is not the opposite of faith. Fear is the opposite of love, okay? In our minds, we think fear is the opposite of faith, but it's not. It's the opposite of love. It's the opposite of knowing that you are loved and walking in that love. And that brings us to 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 now. And it says this, 1 John 4:18, "There is no fear in love." Isn't that awesome? "But perfect love cast out fear." So he's saying there's no fear in love, but if love finds fear, it can cast it out. Isn't that great? So we're all candidates? Yes. All right. And then he says this, "For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love," or has not matured in love, has not come to an understanding of God's love. So there may be some adjustments that need to go on in our lives, right? He makes a statement here. He says that fear has to do with punishment. And this is how it works in our lives. When we operate in fear, we become afraid that we're always going to make a mistake, that we're always going to do something wrong. And that shuts us down from even trying. Okay? That's a fear of punishment. Okay? And what that is saying is, it says two things. It says, first of all, that you are afraid of God because you think that the minute that you make a mistake, he's going to come down with the hammer and he's going to deal with you right away. And that's the furthest from the truth. Okay? He gave us Jesus because we didn't have the ability in ourselves to overcome ourselves. So in giving us Jesus, he's given us the ability to overcome who we are and the mistakes that we have made, are making, and will make. Okay? So there's that realm of fear that we think that God is, as soon as we mess up, he's going to disown us, he's going to turn his back on us, and he's going to forget all about us. Okay? The other side of fear is, if we're not concerned about God, then we're concerned about all the people around us. And we're concerned with, well, what are they going to think about me? And, you know, that type of thinking is, it doesn't even make sense. But we do it anyways. I mean, we're all guilty of it. Okay? Now, think about this for a moment. What does it matter what an imperfect person thinks about another imperfect person? What difference does it make? So what? You made a mistake. So what? Who hasn't? You might want to try branding that "so what" on your forehead. Okay? Think about it all the time so that when you make a mistake, you can say, all right, so what? I'm human, but God's still in me. And we're going to talk about this later, too. Not today, but down the road, we're going to talk about this. We're all in the same boat. We're all going to make mistakes. So what? Get over it. Now, look, here's what I would rather do. I would rather correct you from trying to do something, but you made a mistake in it, than trying to have to kick you all the time to get you to do something so that you could possibly make a mistake so that we could correct you. I mean, if you don't try, then you're not doing anything. And I would rather try and make a mistake and fail than not try at all. And I've shared this in the past. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. But I've shared this. Nobody that I know has ever done anything right the first time. I didn't even know I was saved when I got saved. Isn't that awesome? I did everything that I was supposed to do, but I didn't know if, you know, I didn't have the same reaction as the brother who led me to the Lord. I didn't have the same response that he did. So I thought, for a week, I thought, well, I didn't get saved. But I found out that I did. When you think of so what, I want you to remind yourself, hey, we've had this treasure in jars of clay. Okay? Because it's not about you. It's about him. And if God's not afraid to put his spirit in us, why are we afraid to step out in him? You're going to make a mistake. You have to get over it. Now, here's why I want to make a turn. And I've shared this in the past, but I'm going to share it more in depth today. I want you to know something. When you operate in fear, you think of it as fear, but it's really pride. The enemy just doesn't want to tell you it's pride because then you'll have to deal with that. But if he tells you it's fear, you know, he can keep you in fear. But if you think it's pride, then you might want to come out of that. All right? Here's why it's fear. Who are you thinking about? You. You're only thinking about you. You're not stepping out because you're afraid of either what God thinks of you or what other people think of you. So it's all about you. It's not about anybody else. It's really about you. Okay? And so whether it's we're concerned about how God thinks about us or what other people think about us, we become paralyzed and we don't do anything. Okay? So we need to begin to change. So how do I put these together? In Genesis chapter 3, in the fall, this is, we're going to read and see what took place because this is how it works. This is where it got started, okay? And now since the fall, I mean, we all have to deal with this. This is an issue we all have to contend with, okay? In Genesis 3:1, it says this. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. Isn't that amazing? Okay, now if you work through this process, what you find out is they're in paradise. They have everything going for them. This serpent comes and starts talking to them, which should have gotten their attention. But it didn't. And the first thing that he does is challenge them about who God says that they are and who he is, and that he can't be trusted. And so you have to take matters into your own hand. And if you will do this, you will become somebody that you aren't right now. And so he appealed to their sense of pride. They acted on that. Okay? So once they take of that fruit and they've acted upon that, they've stepped into pride. Okay? Now, when the ramifications of that pride came to light, they figured out something. They were naked. Okay? Here's what pride does for you. It tells you now you have to be in control. You have now stepped out of the realm of God. You have stepped into a realm of you now are the provider for your own life. You are the protector of your own life, and you have to take control of your life. And it's found at the end of verse 7. And it says that once they saw that they were naked, and it says, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. Okay? This is the beginning of control. When you operate in fear, but really in pride, the thing that you have to have the most is control. When you start losing control, this is what happens. Your body begins to shake. Your mind begins to lose itself because you are losing something that you've always had, and now that it's leaving you, you don't know what to do. Whoo! Mm. This is like, this is probably worse than coming off drugs and alcohol. If you've been a control freak. And so God will do it a little bit at a time. Now, I may get into this later, but just so you understand this. When they made these loincloths for themselves out of the fig leaves, God did not accept that. Okay? If you read down later, he did not accept that as good enough for them, and he provided. So even in their failures, even in their humanity, God still covered them. And he still wants to do that for us. But here's the thing. We have to be willing to give up control. Woo! Mm. It is very hard because we are masters at controlling our circumstances and our situation. And we can do it so well that we've even controlled God out of the situation in our lives. Whoo! Go ahead. I'm going. And let me just tell you something. The enemy is still doing the same thing today that he did back then. He's trying to get us to doubt the goodness of God in our lives, the power of his word, and the power of his love in our lives. And he's trying to get us to take our own lives into our own hands so that we can be in control of our lives and we don't have to be dependent upon anybody else, because so many people have hurt us. And we're not going to let that happen anymore. Pride and fear got the best of them. It'll get the best of us. But it doesn't have to. Now, I want you to know something. We are all faced with issues because of the fall. Okay? We're tainted. Humanity is tainted. But it's okay. God has given us the remedy, which is Jesus Christ. Okay? So, an issue that arises from this, from Genesis, and we all deal with it, okay? Nobody in here has overcome this yet. But we all, since the fall, and the fact that we have an enemy, we all have an issue called insecurities. Now, it's not just insecurity, but plural. Because some of us have mastered a lot of insecurities. All right? So, how do we deal with them in light of the cross? We all have them, but we've got to deal with them. Okay? With our insecurities, it comes down to this. We're not trusting God, and we're still trying to be in control. Okay? So, how do we lose that control? With Adam and Eve, they made fig leaves. We don't make fig leaves, but we do things to cover up our insecurities. Okay? Because we don't want anybody to know that. And just as God rejected theirs, he's going to reject our cover-ups as well. Okay? He's eventually going to get down to the root of it. Okay? They began to try to manipulate the circumstances around them, just like we do. Or we're following after their pattern. Okay? Those fig leaves, loincloths, were to put parameters around their lives, and that's exactly what we do. We determine who's coming in and how close they're coming. Okay? And when we do this in our own control, we do this without the Holy Spirit, without coming to God. And we all do that. But then there comes a come to Jesus day when we have to give up control. Okay? And I pray that today is one of those days for you, that when I share this, that you're going to be saying, okay, God, I give up control, and I'm going to give my way to you. Okay, there's two extremes that happen when we're in control of our insecurities in our lives. The first one is this. We become a people who do nothing. We do nothing. Okay? And not only do we do nothing, but we act like we can't do anything. We do that because we don't want anybody paying any attention to us, because we want to control who comes in, and we don't want that many people in. And so we act like we can't do anything, okay? And so they won't see us, and maybe they won't ask us to do anything. And so they hide. Now, between you and I just want to remind you of this fact. God doesn't see you like that. And he will hold you accountable because he has placed greatness in you and he expects greatness to come out. We're going to get into this later. So you might hide from us, but you're not hiding from him. Because when you stand before him, you might be that somebody that got in the way of fulfilling your destiny for God. They allow very little people into their relationship realm. They're very guarded as to who is in there so that they are safe from others as they hide. Okay, that's the first extreme. So they're the ones that do nothing. Here's the second extreme. They're the ones that do everything. And they can do everything. And not only can they do everything, but they do everything well. So you have the do nothing on the one side, and then you have the do everything on the other side. However, the do everything, they do everything so that they don't have to be in front of people. And they can hide. They hide in the things that they do. And then they never spend any time with God or with anybody else. They have a limited realm of relationships as well. Just like the do-nothings, the do-everything, they know more people, but they don't really have close, intimate relationships with those people. They may go to work with them. They may have a great time with them, but they know something. At the end of the day, they're going home without them. It's their place to hide. And so, look, and this is just my observation from being in the ministry for almost 28 years, some of the most successful people in the natural are the most insecure people that I know. Because they take their insecurity and they pour it into whatever they're doing, and they become good at that, and everybody can acknowledge that, but then their relationships aren't very good because they don't go very deep. They're very surface. They're very superficial. They know them, but they don't really know them. They're safe because they know them from a distance. And so they hide. It's just different. Now, both of these extremes try to prevent their vulnerability from being exposed. But if I can change that word from vulnerable to they don't want their humanity to be exposed. Because if people really knew them, they would know their insecurities. And if they knew that, they may not like us. And so those two extremes cause us to be paralyzed as far as relationships go. And it makes them hard on both of those to relate and help others. And it also limits your effectiveness to bring increase to the kingdom of God as far as people goes. Because, again, we're talking about loving God, okay? If you're always got people at a distance and you're always in control of them, then how are you going to expand the kingdom of God? It's in your humanity where you rub shoulders with one another and you see your failures with one another that you begin to have an effect on one another. Okay? But if they can't see that, they'll never have it. Okay? And in essence, we're alone. And when you're alone, you're not accomplishing the things of the kingdom of God. So even though it looks like fear pride is the main thing behind this, because you're in control. Okay? Now, since we identify pride, then we've already talked about one solution, which is to come to a greater understanding of God's love for you. Okay? He does love you. He loves you more than anybody that you think could love you. He loves you much more than that, and it's the best love you could ever get. Okay? But knowing that it's pride, I want to give you two scriptures. It says the same thing, but two out of the New Testament that'll help us with pride. But I want us to see how God views pride. Because we have to have this understanding if we're going to deal with it properly. Okay? If you haven't figured this out yet in your life, God likes to be in control. And it's not an ego thing for him. This is the best thing for your life, that I be in control of your life. Okay, so when he's talking about control, it's a good thing. When we're talking about being in control, it's not a good thing. Okay? So Proverbs chapter 6, you can turn there if you want, but it'll be coming up. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 says this: there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. Verse 17, he says, haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. So in verse 17, he talks about haughty eyes, and that's pride. And the Amplified describes this as this: a proud look, the spirit that makes one overestimate himself and us underestimate others. Okay? So this is what pride is. God hates pride. Okay? He doesn't want it in our lives, because when it's in our lives, it reminds him of the devil, because the devil was full of pride, and that's the reason he got kicked out. Okay? So he doesn't want us associating like that. He wants us associating with him. Okay? So the solution to deal with our pride is to begin to walk in humility. And that means that we have to be willing to be loved by God, which we hold at a distance, whether we're a do-nothing or do-everything person. We can control him by doing nothing. We control him by doing everything. So humility is what God is after, goes a long way with him. James chapter 4, verse 6 says this: but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, in my life, I've figured something out. You don't want God opposing you. It's not good. It's not a good outcome if he opposes you. It's a great outcome if you will humble yourself, because then you will receive grace. The other one is 1 Peter chapter 5. I believe it's verse 5. No, it's wrong in the notes. Yeah. 1 Peter 5, 5. Likewise, you who are young, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you. Everybody say all of you. So he's talking about us, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Now, in light of all this, we're going to get ready to receive communion. And as we receive communion, I want us to make a choice to humble ourselves and to receive the grace that God has. Now, I've probably talked to everybody in here about your life this morning. You're either do nothing or do everything type of person. So whoever you, worship team can come up, whoever you are, whichever extreme you're at, let's just offer this to God and say, God, this is how I am, but this is who I'm going to become. Okay? Because we all have this to contend with. We all have insecurities. We've all tried to control them. Let's give up control. Let's say, God, we surrender. Those of you that are going to help share communion, if you'll come up too. So, in light of the fact that we believe in Christ, let's find that place of rest and peace of letting go of control. You guys can come up. The control that God doesn't accept anyways. Okay? Because he has his own way of dealing with us and our weaknesses and everything else, all our insecurities. So let's let go of pride and fear and the control. And let's give ourselves to him and the love that he has for us. Now, as we share this, I'll share a scripture. We'll pass out the bread first. And then as we pass that out, just hold it till everybody's received it. And then we'll share together. Now, if you're a believer, we want to encourage you to share this with us. If you're not, then just let this pass. Nobody will think anything about it. So if you'll just receive that and wait, and we're going to sing the song. Go ahead.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone, Messiah's
the
let's hold this before the Lord. Father, I thank you that we all face insecurities. We all try to cover them up. We all have our own fig leaves to be in control. But Father, just as you made the sacrifice then to cover them, we thank you that Jesus has become our sacrifice, that we can be free of the insecurities that we face, and we can be a people who are loved by a God who loves us. And Father, we thank you that as we take this bread, that we do it in remembrance of Jesus Christ. We remember his brokenness for our freedom, for our cover, as our sacrifice for our lives. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Let's share it together. Again, if you'll take the cup and just hold it until everybody's been served, and then we'll share together. Randy.
When on the third, at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trample death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King. Oh, praise the name of the
if you'll hold the cup before the Lord. Father, we thank you for this cup, which is a reminder of the blood that was shed for us, that covers us, that forgives us, that cleanses us. And Father, we do this in remembrance of you, and we thank you that greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. And we thank you for this reminder and this remembrance in Jesus' name. Share together. If you'll stand with me, because we got to sing this song standing up. And if you'll just pass your cups toward the middle and they'll collect them.
He shall return.
Oh, yes.
In robes of white, the blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise. My gaze transfixed on Jesus' face. He shall return in robes of white. The blazing sun shall pierce the night. on Jesus' face. He shall return in robes of white.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Father.
The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise above the saints. My gaze transfixed on Jesus' face. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name for.
Father, we thank you for the privilege of being a people who can walk away from pride, we can walk in humility, and we can receive of the goodness of your grace. Father, cause us to be a people who humble themselves before you, who let go of control and allow you to control our lives. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for this food that's been provided. We ask you, bless it, bless the time that we have together to share it. In Jesus' name, amen.